la calidad de Vaughan. Entra en grupobaughan.com e infórmate. Si tienes alguna duda o necesitas información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833. Repito, 91-133-5833.
Esta es La Hora Extra, con Richard Vaughan.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. We'll be landing in about 5 minutes, and I would like to advise you that if you don't already have your seatbelt fastened, to please fasten it at this time. Thank you. Hello, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the extra hour. Yes, it's 10 o'clock at night, so it's good evening, not good afternoon. But nevertheless, it's a pleasure to have you here, and as you heard at the very beginning, I'm right now flying a plane. I'm the captain, el comandante. It's interesting, in Spanish they say el comandante, que es un escala más que un capitán. However, in the English-speaking world, they say, "Cap, this is your captain speaking." All right. This is a very typical a typical message from the head pilot. You know, you have the pilot, the co-pilot, and so it's called the captain. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. We'll be landing in about 5 minutes, and I would like to advise you that if you don't already have your seatbelt fastened, to please fasten it at this time. Thank you. All right. You know, it's interesting listening. Sometimes I pay a little bit of attention to the timbre of the voice of the captain, the type of confidence the captain conveys in his or her. But I've never had a female pilot. You know, I have flown probably, my God, maybe 400 times. Yeah, it's interesting. I've flown from Madrid to, within Spain, I've flown from Madrid to Valencia, from Madrid to Barcelona many times, from Madrid to Santander several times, from Madrid to Bilbao probably 10 times, from Madrid to La Coruña, Madrid to Vigo, Madrid to Santiago de Compostela, and vice versa. I think in Spain, I've probably taken 50 flights. Within the United States, another 50. And then crossing the Atlantic, probably 200 to the United States. And then crossing to places like Peru, Colombia, Mexico, the Dominican Republic, more. And I've taken flights to Paris and to London many, many times. I've taken flights from Madrid to Lisbon and Lisbon to... And I've gone to the Canary Islands. My God, maybe 500 flights. That I've, you know, I should have kept count. I should have kept count of the number of flights I've taken. I've gone to China and back 4 times. That's 8 flights to China. And within China, I have flown to Shenyang in Manchuria once. I've flown from Xiamen to Canton or Guangdong once. So I think within China proper, I have only made 2 flights because I returned from Shenyang by train. And my flight to Xiamen was directly from Amsterdam. And I've flown within Germany. I've flown all over the place, my God. And I would say maybe 500 flights. You know, I'm going to try to figure that out. To figure that out means dar con ello, calculando. To figure something out is kind of figurar. To figure something out is llegar a dar con una respuesta o una solución. Haciendo cálculos, not necessarily, not mathematical, but calculating or just thinking a lot. You're trying to figure it out. I'm going to try to figure out how many flights I've made in my life. The first flight in my life was, as far as I know, It was from Houston, Texas to San Antonio when I was 5 years old. No, six. I was 6 years old. But I probably took a flight before that. Maybe from New York to Texas or vice versa. Because my family lived in New York City for 10 months when I was 2 and 3 years old. So I really don't remember. Now, on practically all of the flights, except the Chinese flights, I don't remember the captain speaking. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking, but saying it in Chinese, in Mandarin Chinese. I don't remember that. Maybe so. But on many, many flights, I've heard the captain. So I've probably heard the captain speaking maybe 400 times. And not one has been a woman. Now, I know there are a lot of female pilots now, which is fine. But I've never coincided with one up to now. I can imagine a female voice. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain. In Spanish, you would say, soy su comandante, no comandanta. It's interesting because comandante is masculine or feminine. Presidenta, ahora se dice presidenta. Yes. Yes, it's interesting. Which is not really correct Spanish to say presidenta, la presidenta. But in any case, there's always a big debate about this in Spain. La juez o la jueza. Some people prefer la jueza, and other people prefer la juez. I remember talking with a quite famous lawyer, female lawyer in Spain. She was very strong, very big lady. She's probably about 1 meter 83, 1 meter 84, and she weighs 100 kilos. So she's a una masa. She says, jueza. Oh, she said, it's horrible, jueza. Okay. But so a lot of people use it. A lot of people use it, you know. It's strange because it's ente should always be that way. That's not masculine or feminine. It's neutral, really. El presidente, la presidente. You would say el comandante, la comandante. You wouldn't say la comandanta. It's interesting. But it's strange because you say ciclista, periodista, pero modisto, which is very strange as well. Funny things about languages. Every language has funny things. Funny means strange. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. We'll be landing in about 5 minutes, and I would like to advise you that if you don't already have your seatbelt fastened, to please fasten it at this time. Thank you. En ese momento que lo abroche usted, o lo abrochen. Yes. I remember there was a Mexican pilot who I think was flying a route from Monterrey to Mexico City. And he got fired, les pidieron, because he decided to play a joke. And he said, señores y señores, abróchense los cinturones de seguridad para que no haya desparrame de cadáveres. And he was fired. So he did it on... And another, I heard, I don't know if this is a true story. I don't know if the other's a true story or not either. I'm telling you silly stories that I don't know if they're true. But I heard them. I'm not making these stories up, which means inventando. No las estoy inventando. I'm not making these stories up. The story I also have heard about Iberia Airlines. All right. Which, by the way, is an excellent airline. It really is a good one. I can compare. There was a period in which Iberia was having... they were not so good on service and things, but they cleaned it up. And my experience in the past 10 or 15 years has been... very, very good for Iberia. Now, the story I heard took place, I think, in the 1980s or in the 1990s. There was a period of time in which certain planes allowed for the passengers on the television screens behind each seat, they could observe the takeoff procedure. And they could see the window of the cockpit. The cockpit is la cabina de mandos. The cockpit significa foso de gallos, para gallo, pelea de gallos. But foso de gallos, no foso, no fosa, foso de gallos. Well, we say cockpit, the cockpit. There is a formal word for that. I can't remember what it is. Let me find it just a second, because it's good for people who are in aviation. Formal word for cockpit. Cockpit. Let's see. It's called the flight deck. That's it. Flight deck. Cubierta de vuelo. Deck. D-E-C-K. Deck has several meanings, but a deck means cubierta de barco. The deck. On deck. In baseball, on deck means you're the next batter. But a deck we also use for a deck of cards. Una barra de cartas. Naipes. We say it's a deck. The French English deck has 52 cards. The Spanish deck has 40 cards. A deck. Now the flight deck. Cubierto de vuelo, literalmente. The cabin and the flight deck. But I think, I'm not sure if people still generally use cockpit. The cockpit. You know, I'm going to ask Google this. Cockpit or flight deck? Which do they recommend? Let's see. In an airliner, the cockpit is usually referred to as the flight deck. The term deriving from its use by the RAF, Royal Air Force. For the separate upper platform in flying, large flying boats. Okay. I didn't know this. Where the pilot and co-pilot sat. In the U.S. and many other countries, however, the term cockpit is also used for airliners. The cockpit. Okay, but in any case, getting back to our little story, which I don't know if it's true or not, is that in this Iberia flight in the 1980s or 1990s, they were starting the opportunity for the passengers to watch the takeoff on a screen. I don't know if the screens were behind every passenger seat or up on the roof of the cabin. You know, every 3 meters or 4 meters, there used to be. Similar to what you see on buses, or what you see in certain, where you see it on the roof, or in the AVE, you have the screen up on the ceiling of the train. And so people were able to watch the takeoff through the windows of the cockpit, but at the same time, they were able to see the hand of the pilot or co-pilot on the controls, moving the controls during the takeoff moment. So you could see the pilot's hand. And so one pilot was a joker, a bromista, and he decided to put on his hand, he put on a big type of mitten, a gran manopla, pero manopla de garras de oso. And so the people were watching the takeoff, and suddenly this big bear's arm comes up and grasps the controls and moves it when the plane is lifting off the ground. And people frightened a lot of the passengers watching this big bear's arm activating the controls of in the cockpit. And that pilot, I heard, the story says the pilot was fired. The pilot was fired. And so they're funny things. Now, the Mexican pilot about the disparame de cadáveres, I have a feeling that's a tall tale. I have a feeling that's a cuento chino. We say a tall tale. Tale es que tale, tale is another word for story. And un cuento alto, literally un alto cuento. A tall tale means something that's not true. Come on, that's a tall tale. I don't know if there's another expression for tall tale. Tall tale. Tall tale. Tall tale. Cuentos largos, pone aquí. Tall tale. Let's see. Tall tale. This is Wikipedia. A tall tale is a story with unbelievable elements, related as if it were true and factual. Some tall tales are exaggerations of actual events. For example, fish stories. Sí, pescado un pez así de grande. Okay. Yeah. That fish was so big, It nearly sank the boat when I pulled it on board. Other tall tales are completely fictional tales, set in a familiar setting. All right. So it's interesting, tall tales. But why do you say in Spanish, cuento chino? ¿Por qué chino? ¿Por qué? You know. Yeah. ¿Por qué se dice cuento chino? I don't know why. Let's see, es común escuchar en algo popular la expresión, eso es un cuento chino cuando se duda de la veracidad, etc., etc. Okay. All right, now why? Why? A ver si dice why. Let's see. El gobierno chino siempre se ha caracterizado por la falta de transparencia. ¿No? Bueno, perhaps, I'm not... I'm reading this. This is not my opinion, necessarily. No solo ante la comunidad internacional, sino también, tristemente, ante su propio pueblo. Pero eso sería más reciente. Or maybe always, you never know. I don't agree with this explanation. I mean, it may be true that the Chinese government hides the truth, oculta la verdad, hides the truth, but I think the expression cuento chino is a lot older than that. Yeah. Yes. So here's another one. ¿Sabes por qué se dice ser un cuento chino? Let's see. Here's another, perhaps a different explanation. All right. Extremo Oriente ha sido siempre un lugar en el que confluían las imaginaciones y fantasías de los europeos. Okay, esto sí tiene más. This sounds more plausible. Aunque los viajeros de la ruta de la seda por Damasco y Samarcanda habían llegado muchas veces a Beijing, los europeos recelaban de las historias que se contaban, muchas cargadas de fantasías y leyendas. All right. Yeah, okay, now that sounds plausible, much more than the other. Even Marco Polo, there's even a lot of skepticism about the origin of Marco Polo's stories, to what extent they are really true. Some experts or historians believe that it's a cuento chino. But, you know, we don't say a Chinese story in English, as far as I know. Of course, I'm pretty sure we don't. But in any case, let's get back to our captain. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. You know, it's interesting. Because in the United States, this is always, in every single flight, the captain says something. Or the first officer. The first officer is el copiloto. We say el primer oficial. The first officer. The captain and the first officer. Now, the captain. People often pay attention to the timbre of the captain's voice. The pace, the cadence of the voice. And the most popular voices, it's interesting, maybe 30% of the voices of the captains sound like with a Texas accent. Because a lot of the pilots, now less, but if you go back 20, 30 years, a lot of the pilots had their hero was a very famous pilot, whose name I'm trying to remember, from Texas, by the way. The first pilot in history to break the sound barrier. First pilot to break the sound barrier was Chuck Yeager. He was portrayed in the book and in the movie Elegidos para la Gloria, I think. The Right Stuff in English. And Chuck Yeager was a very famous pilot in the Second World War, in the Korean War, and as a test pilot, piloto de prueba. And he was the first pilot to break the sound barrier. And so he's a hero among many pilots, and he has a way of talking that sounds like this. Well, I think I'm going to go up and take that plane up and see if I can break that barrier again. That darn sound barrier is pretty hard to break. I think got some chewing gum on you. You can lend me a stick of gum. yeah, I'm going to go up and break that barrier. So he was a very brave pilot, flying faster than any human in history before the astronauts. And he had a slow way of talking like this, typical Texas way of talking, laid back. And he said, I'm a U.S. Air Force captain. And they say I'm the first person to fly faster than the speed of sound. Well, maybe it's true, but I just enjoy flying. All right. And so people are traveling. Now, a lot of people are uncomfortable flying. They have a certain degree of fear of flying. And when the plane takes off and is reaching its cruising speed, it's very common at that point for the captain to come on and to introduce himself and to give a little bit of information about the flight. And when a captain comes on with that type of accent, it naturally relaxes the people. And it's really funny about this, but it really does. And it says, "Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. I think we've reached our cruising speed and still have 3 hours ahead of us, but it's going to be pretty smooth sailing, yeah. And we may run a little bumpy moments along the way, a little bit of turbulence, but that's usually par for the course. We expect to be into Los Angeles International Airport around 10:30 p.m. A little late for me, but we'll be reaching the West Coast in Los Angeles, California. So sit back, take it easy, and I wish you a pleasant flight and a very safe arrival. And it's been a pleasure." And the people just naturally melt into their seats and relax when they hear that. What we call in American English, laid back. Laid back means colocado hacia atrás, como alguien que se echa hacia atrás en su silla y no se incorpora. Lo contrario de incorporarse es, that's a sit up and a sit back, or to lay back. Lay back means casi inclinado, como una tumbona casi, that's to lay back. But the expression laid, L-A-I-D, laid back, means tranquilote. Okay, easy going. Laid back. And so people, that type of accent and the drawl, what we call the Texas drawl, D-R-A-W-L, means acento, pero un acento de alargar las sílabas. Yo quiero buenas tardes. And so it's just, but in English it sounds, in Spanish it sounds strange. Spanish is a very different, choppy type of language, whereas English is a hydraulic fluid language, like molasses. We lengthen syllables. I really want to go. And so this relaxes people. The word drawl, it's used commonly with Texas accent. You don't say a Florida drawl or a Mississippi drawl. You say a Texas drawl. Like draw, dibujar con L. Drawl. Aquí dice, pronunciación lenta. Hablar arrastrando las palabras. It's a slow way of speaking. Yes. Hablar alargando las palabras. Buenas tardes. Fritos de maíz. El sabor auténtico de puro maíz. Okay. Yes. That's a drawl. Drawl. You draw it out. Because to draw something out means ir alargando algo, to draw it out. Even a meeting, this meeting is drawing out to a long meeting. Drawl. To speak in a slow manner. An act or an example of speaking by drawling. All right. Prolonging the vowels. Sí, prolongar las vocales. Hola. No, hola. In Spanish, it's just the opposite. It's very staccato and very abrupt. Hola. Hola, ¿qué tal? Hola, ¿qué tal? Hey, how you doing, man? How you doing? How's everything? And it's just totally different approach to expression between the two languages. Although they're both are Western languages, one is from the Latin branch of the Indo-European trunk of languages, and the other is from the Germanic branch. But once that Germanic branch of English, oh, I'm speaking English, got to Texas, my God, we decided to make it longer and sound completely different. We sure did. And that's the way it is if you go to Texas. You'll hear a lot of people talk like this. And they'll say, by the way, we're running out of time. Which means that this first half-hour segment is coming to a close. I'll be right back.
Tengo 23 años y acabo de terminar la carrera de Administración y Dirección de Empresas. Decidí hacer este máster antes de acabar la carrera porque mi nivel de inglés era realmente bajo. Veía que tenía que buscar un trabajo y que necesitaba un buen nivel de inglés. Y creí que esta era la mejor forma y una alternativa a irte fuera. Así que decidí compaginar un poco los estudios con el inglés. Y ahora que he terminado, hace una semana que he terminado los estudios y tengo que buscar trabajo, me siento un poco más preparada. Lo mejor es el equipo de profesores que tienen. Hacen las clases muy amenas y aprovechamos el tiempo al máximo.
No importa lo que hayas estudiado, no importa a qué te quieras dedicar. Hagas lo que hagas, vas a necesitar el inglés. Haz un máster que realmente merezca la pena. Haz el máster en inglés profesional de Vaughan. Más información en el 91-133-5833 o en grupovaughan.com. Máster en inglés profesional.
Además, ahora fíñate hasta el 100% del coste y págalo cómodamente hasta en 24 meses. Puedes ver las condiciones de financiación en el apartado de máster en grupovaughan.com.
Alicante, Barcelona, Bilbao, Valladolid, Valencia, Vigo, Santander, Zaragoza y Madrid. Ven a vernos a cualquiera de nuestras academias de inglés Vaughan. Ven a vernos sin ningún compromiso. Queremos conocerte. Infórmate en grupovaughan.com.
Hello there, this is Fitz. I want to talk to you about the Curso de Inglés Online de Vaughan. €99 for 1 year of classes. You can spread the €99 over 3 months. It's 30 cents per day. All the Vaughan favorites are in there. Richard Vaughan, Richard Brown, Jimena Holiday, Kyle Miller, Alberto Alonso. Curso de Inglés Online, Vaughan.com.
Dispara tu carrera profesional con un máster Vaughan. Dominarás el inglés oral en situaciones cotidianas y profesionales. Aprenderás a escribir correctamente textos y cartas de negocios en perfecto inglés y transmitirás una imagen de profesionalidad. El máster incluye una o dos inmersiones lingüísticas en Vaughan Town, donde practicarás lo aprendido en el máster con angloparlantes nativos de todas partes del mundo. Puedes hacerlo a tiempo completo o a tiempo parcial. Tú eliges la que más te convenga. La versión completa se realiza por videoconferencia e incluye más de 900 horas de inglés y dos inmersiones en Vaughan Town. La versión parcial se realiza también por videoconferencia o, si lo prefieres, de manera presencial en nuestros centros de Madrid, Barcelona, Valencia y Zaragoza, e incluye más de 500 horas de inglés y una inmersión en Vaughan Town. Todo, por supuesto, en un entorno seguro, cumpliendo todas las medidas de higiene y distanciamiento social. Te estamos ofreciendo el mejor programa de inglés del mercado. Tú decides. Máster en inglés profesional. Para más información, grupovaughan.com.
Lo que más miedo da al profesional español es hablar por teléfono en inglés. Por eso Vaughan ha desarrollado las clases telefónicas, en las que trabajarás tanto tu comprensión auditiva como tu fluidez oral con un auténtico crack de la enseñanza. Tú eliges la hora y la temática de cada clase. Flexibilidad absoluta. Calidad Vaughan 100%. Contrata las clases telefónicas de inglés de Vaughan para tu empresa. Llama al 91-133-5831 o entra en grupovaughan.com.
Prueba el método Vaughan con nuestro curso trimestral. Elige entre nuestra modalidad presencial o por videoconferencia. Y el resto, déjanoslo a nosotros. 3 meses de listening y speaking con los mejores profesores del mercado. Entra en grupovaughan.com e infórmate. Curso trimestral de Vaughan. Ven a vernos a nuestra tienda física en Madrid, en la calle Orense 75. Y si no te viene bien, ya sabes, baugantienda.com.
Sí, dígame.
Ahora tu profesor Vaughan desde tu casa, la oficina. Tu profesor Vaughan en clases telefónicas. Ahora más fácil y cómodo. Consigue uno de los tres planes de formación en grupovaughan.com/clases telefónicas.
La hora extra con Richard Vaughan.
Hello again, welcome back. Okay, today is our Tuesday edition of the Extra Hour. It's 10:30 at night now. Just in the last half hour, we were talking about the captain speaking over the intercom to the passengers, and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking." Claro, en español dice, "Soy su capitán." No, este es su capitán. Oh, comandante. "Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. We'll be landing." Fíjate cómo se dice. Un futuro seguro. We'll be landing. We will land is a neutral statement of fact. We'll be landing is... Estaremos aterrizando en unos 5 minutos. That's how we say it. We'll be landing in about 5 minutes. And I would like to advise you. I would like to inform you. I would like to advise you that if you don't already have your seatbelt fastened, to please fasten it at this time. All right. Aconsejarle que lo abroche. Si no lo tiene, le ya abrochalo. And I would like to advise you, to advise, S-E al final, no C-E, to advise you that if you don't already have your seatbelt fastened, to please fasten it. Te muda, fasten. Escrito fasten. Te muda. To fasten it at this time. Thank you. All right. That's paragraph 95. Let's go on to paragraph number 96. Once we have finished paragraph 99, we will have finished half the paragraphs in this book. There are 198 paragraphs. I recommend you buy this book. Call Kike in the Bauen Tienda or go into bauentienda.com. And you can buy it online or something. 128 párrafos. 198 paragraphs. And it's an excellent book for high level. It's a high level. I treat my people, paragraph 96. I treat my people according to the laws of human nature. That is, with a carrot and a stick. I've always believed that the best way to get people to do what you want them to do is by simple application of rewards and punishments. Do you know of any better method? I don't agree with this person, so this paragraph doesn't necessarily reflect my own feelings or my own opinion. I treat my people according to the laws of human nature, that is, with a carrot and a stick. I've always believed that the best way to get people to do what you want them to do is by a simple application of rewards and punishments. Do you know of any better method? Yes, I do. I think I know of a better method, and I know a better method. It's interesting. The person says, "Do you know of any?" That means, ¿conoce algún método mejor? Pero dice, "No of." ¿Sabe usted de algún método mejor? No sé de nada. No sé nada. You know, it's interesting. I don't know of. You can say both. I don't know any better method, or I don't know of. That means I'm not aware of. I'm not aware of any better method. Trato a mi gente. I treat my people according to the laws of human nature. I'm not sure if I'm completely familiar with the laws of human nature. Are there laws? Is there a code of laws or a set of laws that describe human nature? Es decir, that is, with a carrot and a stick. Carrot? What's a carrot? Carrot? Well, the sound carrot, has two possible meanings. If you see it in writing, you're clear. But if you hear it out of context, if a person says carrot, just isolated by itself, a person says, please translate the following word, carrot. It's impossible to translate because you don't know if it's una zanahoria o un quilate. Quilate de plata, quilate de oro. Cuatro quilates, 24 quilates. Carrots. Carrot. Now the pronunciation is identical. And the spelling is totally different. Carrot, quilate, is carat. Con ka. I think it's with a K. You know, I'm not sure. I've never spelled this word in my life. Yeah. Quilate. Let's see what it is. Es con. Let's see. Quilate. Carrot. I think both. Just a second. Let me go into word reference. Just a second. Give me just a second, please. Okay. I'm going to start out with quilate con Q in Espanol. Quilate. Let's see. Quilate. Carrot. Es con both. It's con both. It's with both. In it, according to word reference, carrot is with a C. Carat. ¿Cómo suena? Carat. Carat is with a C in the United Kingdom. And in the United States, both. With a C and with a K. A carat. 24 carat gold. All right. The peregrine pearl, the peregrina pearl weighed 58 carats. O sea, es un peso. Quilate. ¿Vendrán de kilos, digo yo? I mean, what's the origin? What's the etymology? Etymology of carat. Carat. Middle English, French, carato. From the Arabic, kirat. Unidad de medida. From Greek, bueno, de todos los idiomas viene. Keration. Keration. All right. It's interesting, carat. Now, carrot, lo que se come, is exact, the pronunciation is identical. Carat. Carrot. Yeah. Carrots are orange. Carrots are good for your eyes. That's why you never see a rabbit with glasses, right? Rabbits never need glasses or contact lenses because they eat carrots. All right. That's the typical. Yeah. Why are carrots good for your eyes? I don't know. Well, have you ever seen a rabbit with glasses? All right. But in any case, carrot. Now, the expression a carrot and a stick, you say the same in Spanish, I believe. You say palo y zanahoria. Pero, I creo que en inglés decimos zanahoria y palo. A carrot and stick approach. Yes, carrot and stick motivation. La motivación. The carrot and stick motivation is a motivational approach that involves offering a carrot, a reward, un premio, or recompensa for good behavior, and a stick, negative consequences for poor behavior. It motivates your staff, tu personal, by creating actionable goals and desirable rewards for employees who can alter their behavior and performance. Yes. But nevertheless, it's for me, that's not a good way. Some people respond to that. I mean, it's very strange about these things. It's very strange how people, human motivation. In call centers, they offer for sale, selling something. It's interesting, if you want, you can take two things. If you reach a certain goal, you will receive €1,000 extra, a bonus of €1,000. Or let's say a bonus of €3,000. That's a lot of money. A bonus of €3,000. But If instead of offering a bonus of 3,000 euros, you offer the equivalent, you see, a two-week trip to the Caribbean, a two-week all-expenses-paid trip to a four-star hotel in Jamaica, and you'll see that the people will work harder for that trip than for the 3,000 euros. They'll work harder for the trip, even though the trip doesn't help them financially at all. It's simply a free paid vacation, a free vacation. And so, but they will work harder for the trip. It's more motivational. And it's interesting about the human psyche. I don't disagree with bonus systems, reward systems. I don't agree with punishment systems, except, well, I don't agree. I would never use one. But punishment, as an incentive is very, very powerful. It's very powerful in the short term, medium term, but it's not powerful. In the long term, it backfires because you create a revolution, a revolt. People rebel against you and kill you or something. I mean, this happens all the time in dictatorships. Dictatorships are often based on punishment more than on reward. And so the people finally, human nature just cannot accept that over the long term. Fear can move people. Fear can certainly motivate, but it can motivate in the short term and get things done, but it will not motivate in the long term. People will give up. That happens in the communist system. That happened in Russia. In China is a different story, but basically the same. But it happened in Russia. People were not really motivated. There was a lot of fear involved. But in any case, the carrot and the stick. Stick is un palo. Carrot is zanahoria. Palo es zanahoria, you say in Spanish. Yes. The carrot and stick motivation. The carrot and stick approach. Yes. I think you say, sí, el enfoque del palo y la zanahoria. Del palo y la zanahoria. Premio castigo. Now, you can use it with animals. Dogs, especially. Dogs are based on, especially on the reward. Dolphins, you know, they will jump through hoops and then receive fish afterwards. And so it's the Pavlov dogs or just programming an animal to do something for a reward or to avoid a punishment. But people, that's not the best way. So I don't agree with this paragraph. I treat my people according to the laws of human nature. Es decir, that is, eso es, with a carrot and a stick. I've always believed, otra vez con la V de O, I've always, he siempre creído, o sea, siempre he creído. I've always believed that the best way to get people to do what you want them to do, okay, to get people to do what you want them to do. Memoriza esto. Consigue que la gente haga lo que tú quieres que haga. To get people to do what you want them to do. Yes. Except for people, every word is one syllable. Monosyllable, as you say. To get people to do what you want them to do. Consigue la gente haga lo que quieres que haga. All right. So I've always believed that the best way to get people to do what you want them to do is by a simple application of rewards and punishments. Primos y castigos. Do you know of any better method? Oh, yes. I know a much better method. Inspiration. Human inspiration, to inspire people through good communication, through good management, through setting a good example, through encouragement, and through a fun, stimulating atmosphere. 95% of the people just respond very, very well to that, and they'll bust their ass for you. That means they'll work very hard for you because they want to work with you. They enjoy your leadership. It's stimulating leadership, and And so that's the power of good, positive, powerful leadership. That people will stand in line all night to listen to your speech. People will go to Antarctica for you and back. This is the case. This type of leadership doesn't require rewards and punishments. This transcends any other type of proposition concerning motivation, motivational techniques. A very, you know, you can have a company of 10,000 people, and across the street on the opposite side of another company with 10,000 people, and they compete. Let's say you have Coca-Cola on one side and Pepsi-Cola on the other. Now, in company A, digamos, let's say the people earn 10% less than in company B. So the people across the street in company B earn 10% more than the poor people in company A. However, the general manager or the CEO or the chairman of the company A is a very good leader, very inspirational, and very close to the people. Whereas in the company B, it's a typical manager who partially bases his management on rewards and punishment. I guarantee you, despite the fact that the people earn less in company A, the productivity will be greater and the likely success of the company will be greater. The likelihood of success of the company, it will be better company. It's the leader. There's an emotional element that you cannot deny. An emotional element. Flechazo de Cupido. Boom, al corazón. If you win the people's hearts, you will win everything. They will hand over to you their best effort if you can win their heart. Now, I would recommend that you raise their salary to equal the others or even better than the others. Eh? But if you win their heart, it's not as important as otherwise. It's not that important. If you win their heart, they will do their best. 95%. There's always 5% of cynics, born cynics or born lazy or born proud. Los cínicos, los soberbios y los vagos por nacimiento. Vagos de nacimiento. And they will... Well, I even think that the lazy, there's salvation for the lazy. There's no salvation for the cynics. Los cínicos que recochinean de todo. You know. No existe la nobleza. Para un cínico, the English definition of the word. Because the Spanish definition is changing, eh? Cínico, cinismo used to have a different meaning in Spanish. It's starting to change. I think, this is an interesting, I've never mentioned this on the air. I have mentioned in the past the different definition for cinismo in Spanish and cynicism in English. They're different. Un poco falsos, son amigos falsos un poquito. They don't mean the same. However, I'm getting the impression that the Spanish meaning is starting to disappear and the word is migrating to the English meaning. And for me it's important because I talk a lot about cynics. I have a special distaste for cynics and for cynicism. Distaste. I've never taught that word. Distaste for cynics. Let me see if I can find distaste. Let's see, in Espanol. Spanish, no, I don't want to Spain. Distaste no existe. Distaste, I don't think it exists. English definition, distaste. Distaste. I have a certain distaste. Dislike. In Spanish, aversión. Eso sí, repulsión es un poco fuerte. Aversión, cierta aversión, o bastante. I have a pretty strong distaste for cynics. Now, it's interesting because cynicism in English is the definition of cynicism. All right. An attitude, a person who believes that only selfishness is the cause of all human actions. All right. Una persona que cree que el egoísmo es la causa de todas las acciones o motivaciones humanas. El egoísmo. Which means that no hay nada noble. La nobleza no existe. Un cínico rebaja todo y se recochinea de todo. That's a cynic. That's a cynic. Now, in Spanish, it's interesting because cinismo. This is interesting. Let's see what they say. La RAI, the Royal Academy of Languages. Cinismo. The first is desvergüenza en el mentir. O en la defensa y práctica de acciones o doctrinas vituperables. Toma. Okay. Impudencia, obscenidad descarada. That's not cynicism in English. Cynicism is un recochineo de la nobleza. Cualquier cosa noble. Cualquier apelación a nobleza. Bah. For example, el Baugan es tramontado dólar. Habrá hecho algo. Uno no llega a millonario sin hacer cosas oscuras. Es que, pues, that's a cynic. Oscar Wilde's, what was the Oscar Wilde's saying about cynicism? Oscar Wilde, the Irish writer and poet, Oscar Wilde, a cynic, he said, a cynic, this is a quote, una cita, a cynic is a man who knows the price of everything and the value of nothing. Conoce el precio de todo y ignora por completo el valor, su valor. O sea, el valor de nada. A cynic is a man who knows the price of everything and the value of nothing. That's a cynic. All right. Now, the reason I was talking about this originally, I don't remember now why I got onto this subject. I don't know why I got up. Because of cynicism, I treat my people according to the laws of human nature, that is, with a carrot and a stick. I've always believed that the best way to get people to do what you want them to do is by a simple application of rewards and punishments. Do you know of any better method? Yes, I know of a much, much better and much more powerful method. That is, leadership, positive leadership inclined toward inspiration, inspirational leadership. And the people will go to the end of the earth for you if they are inspired. And that's another secret. Love, it depends on your definition of love, of course, but that means you go through the heart. And if you win the heart of your employees, you have won their dedication and devotion to the business, to you, and to the company or to the business. If it's a business atmosphere and you need to motivate your people to do their best to increase the productivity, which in the end always increases the profitability, and then you're in a better position to raise their salaries, of course, after that. But you have to have people working hard, and you have to have a very healthy company that's growing and very profitable. And then you're in a position to be generous, much more generous than usual. All right. So, that's paragraph 96. A simple application, rewards and punishment. Punishment is castigo. Yes, crime and punishment, crimen y castigo. One of the most famous books by Fedor Dostoevsky. I wasn't convinced with that book. My favorite novel is The Brothers Karamazov. So I was a bit disappointed, but it's a good book, eh? Crime and Punishment. Dostoevsky was an interesting person, very psychological, very, very psychological. Reward is recompensa. También es el premio, a reward es una especie de premio como recompensa. Ahora, un caza recompensas is a bounty hunter. Bounty, B-O-U-N-T-Y, a bounty hunter is un caza recompensas. Now, when the bounty hunter is successful, he or she receives a reward. In the United States, there are bounty hunters. Yes. Are there many bounty hunters? Bounty? Oh, no, not good. Hunters. Hunters in the U.S. today? I don't know. Are there still bounty hunters in the U.S.? Bounty hunters today in most states are licensed or registered professionals who play an important role in the bail bond business, therefore in the nation's criminal justice system. So yes, there are a lot of bounty hunters. But I'll have to come back another day. This is an interesting subject. A bounty hunter. In Spanish they call it caza recompensas. El sistema legal en Estados Unidos legaliza y crea la figura del caza recompensas. Similar to Clint Eastwood in the spaghetti westerns. But I have to go. Eh? Have a good evening, okay? And I'll see you tomorrow, Wednesday. Take care.
Dispara tu carrera profesional con un Máster Vaughan. Dominarás el inglés oral en situaciones cotidianas y profesionales. Aprenderás a escribir correctamente textos y cartas de negocios en perfecto inglés y transmitirás una imagen de profesionalidad. El Máster incluye una o dos inmersiones lingüísticas en Vaughan Town, donde practicarás lo aprendido en el Máster con angloparlantes nativos de todas partes del mundo. Puedes hacerlo a tiempo completo o a tiempo parcial. Tú eliges la que más te convenga. La versión completa se realiza por videoconferencia e incluye más de 900 horas de inglés y dos inmersiones en Vaughan Town. La versión parcial se realiza también por videoconferencia o, si lo prefieres, de manera presencial en nuestros centros de Madrid, Barcelona, Valencia y Zaragoza, e incluye más de 500 horas de inglés y una inmersión en Vaughan Town. Todo, por supuesto, en un entorno seguro.